This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I made a terrible mistake, Brad. I played an AC/DC song that started off with several seconds of silence.
Oh. You know, when you work in radio and television long enough, things happen. Josh Briscoe, I said, play some AC/DC, and that song started out with several seconds of silence. It happens.
You want to keep producing this show on the air?
No.
Because I have something else that we have to figure out right now.
Okay.
That I just realized is I was working off of the original email I got from you, and I feel like you moved someone to 11 o'clock.
I did.
Guest-wise.
Andy Edwards.
I'm going to give him a call.
Okay. I sent you that email like probably Wednesday, and then everything changed on Thursday and Friday, and I forgot to tell the producer that the lineup had changed. My bad, Joshua. Your reward is you get to work for 15 hours today. It's a big day for stuff here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're on till noon. This is Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. This is Bradapalooza, re-released into the wild to get to do some radio. Immediately after this show, at noon, KU men's basketball. They're on their tour of Italy right now. Played a couple of games in Rome. Pretty easy wins. Azubuike almost tore down an entire basketball goal. And so they've had those games streaming, and they're also live right here on WHB. So at noon, Kansas men's basketball with an Italian flair. So hopefully Brian Haney has been working on his Italian pronunciation. So that'll be at noon. And then Sporting KC, big game Sunday night at Sporting Park against Atlanta United, one of the expansion teams. And they have a lot of great young Latin talent, and they're an exciting team to watch. And Sporting is going to be running about 100 miles an hour to keep up with them. So that's on Sunday night. Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com is going to join us here in just a second. He writes, for, as I said, NBCSports.com. He covers Sporting KC as well as Major League Soccer. So he's got the whole insight. We're going to ask him about Dom Dwyer and that trade and how that impacts Sporting, if it does impact Sporting. Dom Dwyer's first game for Orlando City, they lost. Sporting KC's first game without Dom Dwyer, Sporting won 3-2. A very exciting game. Benny Failhaber, one of the more fun goals of the year with a bicycle right in front. He makes it look easy. He may have thought it was easy, but it was fantastic on his part. So we'll talk to Andy Edwards about that. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, David Leske, or D.B. Leske, will join us. He writes for Baseball Prospectus. We'll talk about the Royals and the offense kind of going downhill right now. And it comes at a very bad point, because what you want to do at this point of the season is those teams that still have hopes for a playoff spot, whether it's a wild card or some other variety winning the division, the teams that are close to being out, you want to knock them absolutely out. And the teams like the Royals that are in a good spot need to continue to climb. And getting swept by the Baltimore Orioles, losing last night to the Mariners, they split the first two games with the Mariners. They're a team that's in the hunt as well. Those were not good results for the Royals, and the offense in particular. And it changes now. We'll have to wait to see how serious the injury is for Salvador Perez. He had a rib cage injury, had to come out of the game Friday night. So we'll have to see how serious that is and whether or not Drew Butera is going to get more playing time until Sal gets back healthy again. So we'll have to check that out. And it'll be interesting to see how Ned Yost manages the roster if Salvador Perez has to go on for a 7 or 10 day stint on the DL. It's a challenge. I'm not. You'd have to maybe bring up a Brian Pena from AAA. I don't want to go that far yet. I mean, it's Salvador Perez. He never really goes out for much longer. But the offense definitely needs to get back on track. And it's kind of funny the way the offense has worked, because at the beginning of the season, when Brandon Moss couldn't hit worth a darn, the Royals were playing okay. Now he's tearing the absolute cover off the ball, and some of the other players have gone back into a funk of sorts. And it's cost him a couple of ball games. Jason Hamill, well, you look at his numbers, and everybody's talked about how he's good the first two times through a lineup. The third time is not. Last night he was much better. I think he's been better over the last probably 4 weeks. But the bullpen did not get its job done. Some of the new acquisitions from the Padres struggled against the Mariners last night. And Jerod Dyson was one of the players who came back to bite the Kansas City Royals. But a wonderful ovation by Royals fans when he came up for his first at-bat. And when he got on first base and he said hi to Hosmer and said hi to Salvi when he was at the plate. So, again, the bullpen just, it'll get right. I think it'll be fine. But the lineup over the next week, if Salvador Perez has to miss time, will be interesting. And we're going to ask David Leske about it, because what David Leske does in Baseball Prospectus is they get down inside the numbers, the advanced stats, the metrics, and try to find a reason why the Royals are struggling right now. So we'll ask David Leske about that. Going back to sporting real quick, we talked about the Dom Dwyer trade and the fact that it netted Sporting Kansas City $1.6 million. That may not sound like a lot, but that's double the previous transfer record inside of Major League Soccer. And if you listen to Peter Vermes and what he says, it gives them more roster flexibility. They don't have to spend that cash right away, but that cash, that $1.6 million, that gets added to the salary cap. And Major League Soccer does not have a big salary cap. So this move gives Peter Vermes and Sporting an opportunity to not just sign another player. They don't have to do it now. They can do it later in the season, although there are some deadlines coming up. They can use that money next year. They can use a quarter of that money this year. You can use half the money this year. But there's room for them to maneuver and perhaps bring back a Christian Namath. And if you remember him from a couple of years ago, he came in, he scored 10 goals, he was fantastic. And then his exit from the team, he went to a club in Qatar, or that's where he is now. His exit from Sporting was not the best. And I think it left a bad taste in the mouths of the Sporting people, the way it was orchestrated. I heard earlier this week, I think Nate Buchady was talking about on the show, he has a number of agents, which makes things difficult, especially when you're negotiating between not only two clubs, but clubs in two countries where the rules are different in every country. So Christian Namath, if Sporting can get past the way he exited last time, great. Christian Namath has been begging for about the last year to come back. I don't know if it's specifically for Sporting KC or any landing spot in Major League Soccer. If he were to come back, you'd have to jump through some hoops with the allocation positions for the teams, because currently Columbus Crew is number one in that spot. So Sporting would have to pull the levers on negotiating perhaps a trade with Columbus Crew to get that acquisition spot, to get that top acquisition spot. You'd have to work with Namath. Then you have to work with his team over in Qatar. And again, there are deadlines quickly approaching if Sporting KC is going to work out a deal like that. And he definitely could make an impact on the squad. We talked about the first game after the trade of Dom Dwyer. 3-2 over Chicago Fire. Unfortunately, one of those goals surrendered was an own goal, which you never see from Sporting KC, at least not very often. I think for Matt Beisler, that was the first of his professional career. You just don't see it that often. But they win 3-2 over a Chicago team that was one of the hottest in Major League Soccer. And you're talking, when you talk about talent, Peter Vermes is always talking about depth, too. And you look at the goal scorers for that game, Daniel Shalloway, who's been getting a lot of time with Swope Park Rangers, but now has been getting more time with the big club. Daniel Shalloway scores. Benny Failhaber, who's been around now, gosh, five seasons? He's been around a while. And then they get a late goal from Latif Blessing, another one of their offseason discoveries. So Peter Vermes has absolutely mastered this roster and how to run it in a way that keeps them on the top of the Western Conference. Just a little bit ahead of FC Dallas, and FC Dallas has games in hand, but the roster is in a position to where they can withstand the trade of a Dom Dwyer and I think pretty much be okay. And I heard the Sporting beat writer on this week with Nate Buchady on the Border Patrol, And he said after the game, after the 3-2 win over Chicago, Matt Beasley said after the game, I think that was the best offensive performance we've had all season. True, the team had three goals. But don't mistake, that also might be directed at someone who may no longer be with the club. And maybe the offense wasn't functioning the way it should be with a player who is no longer with the club. And now it's performing a little bit different because they have players who have different skill sets who can get in and keep scoring. So Sporting KC is in a good spot again. They play Sunday night, 7 o'clock against Atlanta United. You can hear the game here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's also one of the national TV games. It'll be on Fox Sports 1. Steve Walls from 1510 down the hallway is standing outside the window, and I told him I'd bring him in the studio to jump in, so I'll just wave him in. Go ahead. You want to come in? All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll bring Steve in here, and we'll just kind of throw it around. Well, Steve and I haven't talked, haven't met a couple of times, but we'll kind of throw it around and find something interesting. You listen to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is kind of a rainy Saturday kind of song. AC/DC. Back on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB, I am Brad Porter, getting my sea legs back under me, doing some good radio today. Had a lot of good guests today. Still to come later in the show, David Leske, or you may know him from Twitter, DB Leske, Baseball Prospectus, going to talk about the Royals and kind of this offensive slump they're in. Right now, glad to be joined by Steve Walls. He's co-host of The W with Walls and Watson, Michael Watson, down the hallway on 1510 ESPN Radio. You like these Saturday shows?
I do. It's early.
You guys have fun. You and Michael Watson have to have fun.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, being with Mike, he's a handful, man. He's funny, though.
I always tell Michael, I said, I never see you without a smile.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know he recently snapped his Achilles. Maybe he wasn't smiling then.
Right.
But he smiles all the time.
Exactly. Like I said, when we were in a break, he didn't have a boot on for like the first month, and now all of a sudden he wants to wear a boot. I'm like, dude, you should have had that on from the beginning.
You had a really cool special guest today, Quentin Day, and for those who follow high school and college basketball in the Metro, star at Paseo High School, stud athlete, went to USC for I think half a year, then transferred to UMKC and had a fantastic career. Now he's been in Europe for how many years? Has he been in Europe?
Nine years.
Yeah. And you make, you know, Quentin, those guys make really good money.
Yeah. Tax free.
Yeah. Usually you get a free car, free apartment. And what I try to tell kids is just because you're not at a big time academy, just because you're not at a Power Five school, doesn't mean you can't play at the college level, get the experience, go to Europe and make a ton of money.
Right, right.
I mean, it's not NBA money, but it's good money.
And the hardest thing for those guys that when they go over there is it's a culture shock.
Right.
You know, you know, people are speaking different languages. The food is different. So a lot of times they don't all make it just because of their stuff that they're not used to.
I think Quentin was playing at a spot last year where he was living by a lake, great lifestyle.
In Switzerland.
Yeah. But his coaches were all Italian.
Right.
So he was probably trying to pick up two languages at once.
Right. And he said it's definitely a language barrier, but a lot of times they have a translator that's there that's able to help transition the guys into kind of little understanding what they're saying.
Right. So on the W next door on ESPN Radio, what do you guys like to do? Because when I come in, I've done the show a couple of Saturdays now, and I can hear you guys busting a gut for an hour in there. You guys are obviously having fun. What do you guys try to do on the W?
We break it down in different segments. One of our fun segments is Love It or Hate It.
Okay.
And so,
what'd you do today? You got a list?
List is out there. But
okay.
Actually,
I should have asked you ahead of time.
We talked a lot about just different topics that are going on in sports.
Okay.
A lot of Kyrie, LeBron, that sort of thing. We talked some Chiefs today. The Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith. That big, you know, debate that's going on, and something I really don't like. So
right.
They were kind of getting that on me about that. Also talked about the first game coming up for the Chiefs, first regular season game against the Patriots.
Since you brought up Kyrie Irving, I know this is not, quote unquote, an NBA town.
Right.
Maybe someday it will be. It used to be. I used to go to Kings games when I was a kid. That's how old I am. But my kids, every day, what's Kyrie doing? Is Carmelo going to the Rockets? Who's getting traded where? It is I don't know if it's a generational thing, but the kids, at least my kids, are really into it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So the Kyrie thing, I don't get it. I mean, I guess he wants to be the man somewhere, but you can still make a lot of money and not be the man and win.
Right. And that's the biggest question I have is, what do you want to get out of it? I mean, do you want to go to another team and just be another player? I mean, of course, he's a good player. He's an all-star, perennial player, but does he want to go to another team and win a championship? I thought that was the name of the game.
Right.
You know, I mean, clearly the best option you have is to stay there, but now it puts Cleveland in a predicament because Kyrie came out and said that he doesn't want to sign long term.
Right.
So now what does Cleveland do? Because a lot of teams aren't going to take him.
And then this past week, I did see something funny on Twitter. The video of Kyrie Irving and Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah.
And did you see this?
I saw that.
And they were mocking the LeBron James workout videos.
Right.
And if Kyrie had any chance of going back and getting back in the good graces of LeBron, I think that's out the window.
It's true. One part of me wants to say that they're doing it just for, I don't know, for news headlines. But then again, it's like, I don't know. I don't know.
He might have gotten past the point of no return.
Right.
Speaking of Steph Curry, I don't know if you follow much golf.
Oh, yeah.
I played a horrible round yesterday.
Oh,
so
did you?
I'm awful.
Where'd you play?
I play the Rock Course at Heart of America. It's a little par 3.
Oh, yeah. I play there all the time.
I'm not a long hitter, but on that place, I can knock
it. Walk it or you take a cart?
We've walked it. We've done hand carts. Yesterday, we took a rechargeable cart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My kids wanted to have fun, and I was like, okay, this one time, I'll do it. I actually got a hole in one.
Really?
Not yesterday, but last summer on the sixth hole, the one where you're teeing off and you're shooting way up high in the air.
Okay. I know what that is. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Got a hole in one there.
Wow.
Now, I won't tell you what club I used because it's embarrassing.
What'd you use?
I used a 6-iron.
Oh.
And it's about 130 yards.
Wow.
But it is what it is. Ben, are you a pretty good golfer?
Not really.
Yeah, nobody is.
Yeah.
Steph Curry playing on the web.com tour this week. Got a sponsor's exemption. Some people thought it was unfair. But look, sponsor exemptions go out every week.
Right.
Doesn't matter. And
they
go out to people who may or may not deserve them. But he shoots back-to-back 74s, playing in front of a full gallery with guys who do this for a living every single day. I'm impressed. He didn't make the cut, but I was impressed.
I am too. But you know, the funny thing was, I don't know if you saw it, when he tee off on his first hole, he hit into the golf cart.
Into the cup holder.
Yeah, the cup holder. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a rough outing for Steph. But then he turned around and brought it home. So, I mean, it's like a lot of people are saying that Steph should be worried about basketball now instead of, I mean, like he won.
Not in August.
Two championships. Yes. MVP of the league. I mean, what more do you want from him? He should have some time off to be able to relax.
It's one of the things people just like to pick apart. It's like if a football player goes on a party boat or something, or Gronkowski goes to a club and he's spraying champagne. Well, he should have been focused on his job. He is almost every minute of the day.
Right.
These
guys deserve to have a life.
And if Steph Curry's idea of fun is trying to compete against professional golfers, that's a pretty athletic endeavor.
True.
I'm all for it.
True. I mean, it just shows what kind of an athlete that he is, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're able to go out there and compete on that kind of a scale, man, that's huge.
What the Spurs will obviously try to compete with the Warriors. Nobody thinks the Warriors are not going back to the championship.
Right.
Spurs are getting older. I guess Ginobili is coming back, which I'm surprised by. And Houston wants to bring in possibly Carmelo Anthony, which to me, Carmelo from Syracuse in his first 5 years in the league, yes.
Right.
This Carmelo doesn't get you to the finals.
He doesn't. But he also adds that what if, you know, I mean, you have to account for him while he's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, whether he goes to the Rockets or the Spurs, I mean, the Spurs, of course, have Kawhi Leonard. The Rockets now have CP3.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to account for both those guys with Harden and CP3. Now, if you throw in Melo, I mean, it's the what if. What can he possibly do to hurt us?
The only place you don't have to keep track of Carmelo is when his team is on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Because he doesn't play much.
Yeah. And I think since all those guys, like, you know, LeBron and CP, they're called the Banana Boat Boys.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it's set out there. The report is that they all want to be free agents at the same time so they can pick the team that they go to.
Wow.
Which I don't agree with that, but I mean, if you get a chance to play with your friends, it can do one of two things. It make you all guys all very happy, or it can make you hate each other real quick.
Yeah, you have to spend that much time on the road,
right,
with guys you maybe go on a summer vacation with.
True.
That's a different story. So if Kyrie Irving leaves the Cavaliers, mm-hmm. now depending on what they get back, is Cleveland then vulnerable to teams like the Celtics for next season?
Of course. I mean, any team that Kyrie Irving
goes. Or the Sixers.
Any team that he goes to, he's going to make them better, hands down. But it just depends on what they get back for him.
Right.
I heard that there's possibility of him going to Phoenix for, Josh Jackson, a first-round pick.
Wow.
And can't remember the point guard's name.
Eric Bledsoe?
Eric Bledsoe, yeah. But if they could possibly get Josh Jackson and Eric Bledsoe, I mean, that throw them two in the mix, I mean, that could possibly do it for you.
What is it about KU players who get drafted in the first round that get traded before the season started? Had to have been Andrew Wiggins.
Right.
He ended up probably in a better spot for him.
Exactly.
And now they're adding.
And I know Cleveland is wishing that they still had Wiggins.
Yes, absolutely. So the other question is, if Kyrie stays in Cleveland, mm-hmm. are we just looking at Cavaliers-Warriors again?
I don't know. It's a
lot Barring injury.
It's a lot of turmoil in Cleveland. I don't know if they'll it'd be good to play together anymore. I think there's going to be Philly's going to look good this year in the East. You're still going to have Minnesota that's going to look good. I don't know. That's a good question.
If I was a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers, I would wonder, or the Knicks, what is ownership doing? I don't think they have a clue. And in Cleveland, the owner, Dan Gilbert, mm-hmm. has not had a GM ever reach a second contract. They do 3 years and they're done. You're out. Or 4 years. You're just done. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
You go to three straight championships, you win one.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things.
I wonder if that affects the players at all. Because I know LeBron really liked their GM.
Well, in LeBron's case, LeBron basically, I think he calls a lot of the shots out in Cleveland. So nothing's going to happen without going through LeBron, whether the GM wants it to happen or not. I think LeBron's one of those guys where, I mean, it's not going to matter whether the GM is his friend or not. It's going to be up to him.
All right, we're talking with Steve Walls, co-host of The W, which is next door on 1510 ESPN Radio. A couple other things to hit you with. The NFL preseason starts next week, the Chiefs. Yeah. Are you excited at all?
I am.
Are you? Okay.
I am. I want to see what these guys have to have. I know the starter's going to play, minimal first quarter?
Maybe a series.
Yeah. So I want to see what some of the other guys have to offer. The thing that scares me, though, for this coming up season is the running back situation. I mean, of course, with Spencer Ware and Sharkhandrick West, but, I mean, those guys really, to me, aren't the starters, the pound-for-pound guys that you just
right.
throw in there on every down or even the fourth-down guy or third-down guy.
Mm-hmm. And Kareem Hunt, rookie.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want to see what these guys have.
That was my biggest concern. We talked to Nick Jacobs earlier. My biggest concern is in terms of a power position is running back because mm-hmm. I just don't know.
Right.
And Ware and West have both had injuries over
right.
the years, so you just don't know. When it comes to the preseason, I call it exhibition. I know football teams get upset when you use that term. I call it an exhibition. I can tolerate it for about 10 minutes. That's the maximum amount of
really?
Time. And then I'm like, okay. I just can't spend so much time and get into it like I want to. I look at the numbers, look at the starters and that sort of thing, but when you get down – there's 90 guys out there.
Right.
I know these guys. I can check off the list who's not going to be on this team.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so I want to get I'll wait till the regular season to really get going 100%.
But you know what's going to get me this year is a lot of – everyone is going to be saying that Patrick Mahomes. Of course. Just to see. I mean, there's that question mark above his head. Can he play this game at a high level?
Right. It's funny – the Chiefs have not drafted a quarterback in the first round, I don't think, since Todd Blackledge.
Right.
So Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech, and I kind of brought this up a little bit earlier. One of the knocks was he didn't win a lot in college. Well, he did an interview with Stephen St. John this past week, and what Patrick Mahomes could have said was, mm-hmm. my offense would score 40 or 50 a game. My defense would allow 65
right.
a game. He could have said that, mm-hmm. but he didn't. True. He just said sometimes things happen. He was very diplomatic about it. But I don't – wins and losses in college, I don't care.
Right.
I'd rather you not go 0-12 or come from a losing team, but I don't care about Pat Mahomes, how many games he won or lost in college, unless he was directly responsible.
Do you think that he really feels that way? I mean, talking about his defense?
I would guess on more than one occasion he left the stadium thinking, just one play, guys.
Right.
Make one stop.
Because
if you're drafting a defensive player from Texas Tech,
right,
then I would be worried.
Because, I mean, now he has to worry about who's listening to this.
Right.
Will it get back to my current team with the Chiefs? And now, well, if he gets the chance to play, what is he going to say at the defense, you know, lifts
up? So he's very diplomatic about it.
Right.
Didn't want to take a pass on that one. So Patrick Mahomes, I think everybody's excited about that. I'm already seeing jerseys around town. Are you a jersey guy?
Not really. I haven't worn a jersey in a while.
Okay.
I think the last jersey that I had was a Dwayne Bowe jersey.
I'm laughing. My kids had Dwayne Bowe jerseys, too.
I like Dwayne Bowe. We became pretty good friends.
Yeah.
I can't say that's the reason I had his jersey.
Right.
But, I liked him as a player.
For all of Dwayne Bowe's faults, I actually got along with him really well.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him. I think he was funny. I think he was engaging. I think he could be charming at times. He would say the most off-the-wall things, and then the Chiefs PR staff would clamp down and not let him talk as much.
True.
But I thought he was a good guy. It just, at the end, wasn't as good as didn't live up to the contract, and I hate to put that label on a guy. I think it matters what you make.
Right.
But that's the way it went out, and he did not have any success in Cleveland after leaving here.
Right. I think in Kansas City, he just didn't have that supporting receiver on the other side. I mean, they were expecting him to go over the middle. They were expecting him to do the long, you know, the post routes and things like that. But, I mean, if he had that guy that was able to have the speedster guy, say if he had Jeremy Maclin at the onset of his career, I mean, this guy would have been the limit for Dwayne Bowe.
When you look at the receiver core this year, there's a couple of guys, obviously Chris Conley and Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek clear number one for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He's bringing a lot of confidence in this year. I was out at camp the first week, and you saw Hill. He was just – you could just see it's different in his walk. He's not kind of tiptoeing around trying to find his way. He's confident now. And, I mean, of course that – comes with the nature of being one of the best players on a pro football team, but now it's just like you don't see him trying to be questionable of what everyone else is going to think.
All right, that's Steve Walls, co-host of the W with Walls and Watson on 1510 WHB. It's Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. I always hear him coming through the walls, which is great. It means you guys are having fun. I appreciate you dropping in for a few minutes.
Thank you for having me.
I think we covered it all. Golf, NBA, Chiefs, everything.
That's right.
Got it all covered.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's Steve Walls. We'll take a quick timeout. One more segment to go on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
ZZ Top, Saturday morning. I like this. I love this intro. That's a great intro to a great song by ZZ Top. This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB, home of the Kansas Jayhawks. You can hear the Jayhawks men's basketball team coming up in about 17, 18 minutes, as they're continuing their tour through Italy. So their game today will be live at noon right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the new home for the Kansas Jayhawks. Then tonight, Joshua Briscoe is going to be back with baseball tonight. What time are you coming on, Josh?
Ooh, that's something I should know. 6 o'clock, I think?
Question mark?
Pregame starts at, I'm sorry, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Pregame starts at 5.
Yeah, that's a Saturday game today, so you got the earlier start.
Yeah, and then that's Charlie and I will both be in here at 5 o'clock doing pregame, then I will be back writing solo for postgame as soon as the last out hits the glove, as they say.
A nice little 18-hour day lined up for Joshua Briscoe. Speaking of Royals baseball, we're joined on the line now by David Leske, or as you know him on Twitter, at DB Leske. Covers the Royals and a lot of good stuff for Baseball Perspectives. David, thanks for joining us on this rather wet Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the game tonight, but, I mean, pregame will still be good.
Yeah.
Even if there's no game to be pre.
Oh, man, that would be so infuriating.
I have... years ago, I worked at another radio station that had the Royals contract, and if the worst night would be a West Coast game with rain that they would not call off, and you'd end up sitting in the studio till midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning for nothing.
Well, it's kind of like that. What was that, 2013, the game in St. Louis that ended at 3:15 a.m.
Oh, my God,
they just kept going.
Make a call. Make a call.
Get it done.
Play tomorrow. How about a split doubleheader where you play the rainout game the next day against one team and then open the next series that night against the other team coming in town? How about that?
That would be insane.
I'd be all in for that.
That would be fun. I would enjoy watching that, but that'd be insane.
That'd be a blast. And Major League Baseball won't let that happen. You're not going to schedule that. Anyway, back to reality with David Lesky here. The Royals took another loss last night, and after losing three straight to the Orioles against what I would call suspect pitching, they faced a monster Friday night in James Paxton. I believe he went 6-0 in July, July, and he was the pitcher of the month in the American League. And it looked like the Royals almost got to him, but could not.
Yeah, Paxton's a really good pitcher. He's probably one of those guys that people don't know much about, but I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in the American League when he's healthy, which has been his problem for the last three or four seasons. But, I mean, he looked good last night. You know, the Royals, they did finally start to get some better swings the second, third time through the orders. But he's just such a good pitcher that you don't get too upset about struggling against that. Ubaldo Jimenez, you get one run in seven innings, and you think that's a terrible
That made me sick.
It's infuriating. But if James Paxton shuts you down, you think, okay, I'm not going to get too upset about that because he's really, really good. But it also, at the same time, what was it, the sixth inning when they had second and third and nobody out and scored a fluke run, basically, because of the wild pitch. You know, it's one of those things that when you get second and third on James Paxton with nobody out, you have to convert that.
Right.
You have to score at least two runs, and they didn't. And, you know, the game may have been different if it was 3-1 instead of 2-1. So that was frustrating, but – you know, you chalk up yesterday to just one of those losses. The Orioles series was terrible, but yesterday was just they lost. Baseball teams lose games.
Well, we got a good matchup tonight. It'll be Felix Hernandez, King Felix for the Mariners, Danny Duffy going for the Royals. Now, King Felix isn't the King Felix of 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Where is he right now? What's changed about his game? Has he been taxed by the number of innings and the weight he's had to carry for this entire organization for the last decade?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, his velocity is down. The stuff just isn't what it once was. He's still a good pitcher. He's just not a great pitcher. And so kind of similar to what was going on with Verlander a couple years ago before he kind of revamped a little bit and got his velocity back and started to pitch better. And
started reading the scouting reports.
Yeah, maybe so. But, yeah, I mean, Hernandez, he's still a good pitcher. The Royals did get to him. I think it was July 4th, the July 4th game. It was Duffy against Hernandez, actually, and Duffy's first game back from the DL. And Whit ambushed him on the first pitch, and they were able to get to him. But it's just he's just not as crisp as he used to be, and it happens when you have that many innings. 31, 32?
Mm-hmm.
He's been up since he was 19. So, I mean, he's got mileage of a 35-year-old on his arm, and injuries a little bit, velocity creeping down a little bit, just kind of – basically the aging process of a pitcher who's thrown a lot of innings, and that's what it comes down to for Felix. And like I said, he's still a good pitcher, though, and any given night he can put up some zeros, so it'll be a tough test for the offense, whether they face him today or tomorrow, depending on the weather.
We're talking with David Lesky. Follow him on Twitter, @DBLesky. He posts a lot of his articles on there, really good in-depth stuff if you're a real seamhead. It's fun to kind of read through that stuff. Some of it, David, I'll be honest, I don't get, but I try to.
I'm here for you.
Okay. Well, let's look at Danny Duffy then, talking about mileage. He doesn't have a lot because he hasn't been a starter his whole career, but he is a Tommy John guy. And this is his first year as a staff ace. What do the numbers say about his performances, and is he keeping up ace-type stuff?
Yeah, he probably hasn't been a true ace or even a true number one this season, though he is the Royals' ace number one, and that's okay. He's had a really solid season. For a while, there was a stretch. He started off, his changeup was just fantastic in his first three or four starts, and he was getting a ton of swings and misses. And then the whiffs kind of went away for a little while. Still pitched well. It's just he wasn't getting the swings and misses that you hope for an ace. And then he had the oblique injury and missed, what, five weeks or so. Since he's been back, though, he's been really good. That first start against the Mariners,
yes,
kind of on a pitch count because he was – I think the Royals decided if he's going to throw pitches, he's going to throw them in the big leagues and not in Omaha. But he's walked,
I think he threw about 12 pitches in Omaha.
Yeah, something like that. He's walked, I think he struck out 31 and walked four guys in his, I think it's five starts back now. He's been really, really good. And his last three or four starts have been especially good. Now he's got it looks bad in the game logs when you look at the start against Detroit in that 16-4 game. But what we have to keep in mind is it was, I think, 171 degrees that day.
Yes.
He looked phenomenal in the first three or four innings and then hit a wall. It was just so hot that day.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, he's been really, really good. And in his last three or four starts, he's been every bit the ace that you hope he would be and that you paid him to be, although he's not really paid like an ace because baseball salaries are insane. But he's been fantastic. And you know, the Mariners lineup is one that I think he can exploit because they do swing and miss a lot. And if his changeup is working, it'll make his fastball better. And he could put up some really good numbers against this Mariners offense.
It'd be a good matchup tonight. Duffy against King Felix. That's 6:15. And then Sunday in the finale will be Kennedy against Ramirez. All right, let's flip over to the offensive side. And I don't know how much of the numbers you've looked at for the past week, but are the Royals... have they done something collectively that has caused this offensive slump? Are they swinging and missing more? Are they swinging at stuff they shouldn't? What's happened this past week?
Well, you know, in Baltimore, it looked more like this is just totally the eye test. It looked like they were trying to hit the ball 500 feet, and every time they tried that, they hit a soft pop up.
Right.
And sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was the outfield. So I guess that they get points for clearing the infield on that, but. It almost looked to me, and I could be totally wrong here, that like the stadium got in their head. And they thought, okay, we can hit here. We hit home runs everywhere, so why can't we're going to hit more home runs in Baltimore? And then they took just a kind of a different approach. The swings and misses aren't really different. It just kind of looked like they got out of whack with their swings in general, collectively. And also, it kind of looks like Eric Hosmer might be sliding back into his old ground out to second routine. So that hurts the offense because he's kind of the middle point, the key guy in the four spot in that lineup. So he needs to get back on track for this offense to get going. But then you look back at Thursday's game. Early on, they weren't hitting anything hard. And then all of a sudden, it kind of went back to what we'd seen for 5 or 6 weeks before the Orioles series, where they were hitting line drives. Brandon Moss hit a couple home runs.
Ropes. And,
yeah, they just looked so much better. And then yesterday, again, they got through the first time against Paxton, who, again, is a very good pitcher, they started to hit the ball pretty hard. And a little tough luck, and, you know, it didn't work out for them. But I think they're kind of starting to get back on track. But still, if Hosmer doesn't get back on track, this offense could sputter because he's, like I said, he's kind of the linchpin there. He's the middle point.
Yeah, we're talking with David Leske. Follow him on Twitter. At DB Leske, a lot of good stuff from Baseball Prospectus. Get inside the stuff. All right. Conversely, as Hosmer has struggled a little bit, Brandon Moss got hot. And I know part of his game, he talked in spring training about what changed for him as a professional because he got to the big leagues late. And one of the things that Billy Beane and the Oakland A's tried to get him to do was just hit it up in the air. Because you're a big guy, just launch it. We'll worry about the strikeouts some other time. That wasn't happening for most of the season. Has he changed something in his launch angle or something or his approach in the last couple of weeks?
Well, it looks like he's laying off not all the time because he has some ugly swings and misses, but it looks to me like he's been laying off the pitch down a little bit more, like in the dirt down. I think what happened was, and there's so much of a mental aspect to baseball that it you can't quantify. But it looked to me like he was struggling and then started to chase. And then as he chased more and more and more, he struck out more and more and more, and then he could just never get back on track. And I go back, there was, I think it was J.C. Ramirez when they were facing the Angels back, a month and a half ago. And in his second at bat, he just stopped swinging at the bad pitch. And I don't know if you guys remember that, but back in that series, Ramirez was just mowing them down with this curveball.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Gordon and Moss, they just stopped swinging at the curveball. And the Royals got to Ramirez. They won the game. And since then, it seems like Brandon Moss has just been a little bit better about laying off that pitch in the dirt, picking out his pitch a little bit better. So really, it's just his selectivity that's gotten better. And the numbers speak for themselves. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. He's actually producing offensively and making a tough decision to take him out of the lineup, even against a lefty. I mean, last night he had the RBI single to tie the game up against James Paxton, and he's just been much better. And I don't know for certain, but it feels like that was kind of the turning point. And it's his plate discipline came back, and he got better. And it's pretty much as simple as that, I think.
All right, it's David Leske. Please follow him on Twitter. At DB Leske, we need to wrap things up. We got KU basketball. David, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much, and hopefully the Royals get a couple of wins this weekend.
That would be awesome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, that's David Leske again, at DB Leske. All right, Sports Radio 810 WHB is the new home of the Kansas Jayhawks, and we got basketball for you live from Italy. Coming up next, I want to thank Joshua Briscoe, all of our guests today, Kevin Romery, Nick Jacobs, Kenedra Pulliams, Steve Walls, and David Leske. I am Brad Porter. Appreciate you spending your Saturday with us. And KU basketball is next. Enjoy. And Joshua Briscoe back tonight at 5 with Royals pregame coverage. Enjoy the day.